Just where the awareness, not to blame anyone, just to stop the war and to build a different future, to break this cycle of blood, to break this game of blood, and to build a new future with hope. And hope, I'm not a scholar, I'm not a spokesman, I'm not a politician, I'm a normal people. I'm working very hard for my living. I'm raising my three beautiful children. I'm married to a beautiful, beautiful and amazing woman. And I never thought something like this might happen to someone like me. You hear it maybe in Ukraine, you hear it in Africa, you hear it in else, like faraway places, and this catastrophe reached me.
Now,
and it just, yeah.
There is
sorry,
a mass.
I'm very, very emotional. Sorry.
And again, my condolences to you, to your family. Today, there's a mass protest plan for Washington, D.C., led by groups like Jewish Voice for Peace. 24 rabbis will be part of a civil disobedience, apparently. They are calling for an end to the occupation. Do you feel the same way?
I think occupation, of course, but we are in such a risk. And I think now calling for to do these things or the other, we are going back to the terminology. We are using the same terminology that had brought us to this situation. Let's call for peace. Let's call for hope. Let's call for a complete ceasefire. Let's call for building bridges. Of course I'm against occupation. But it's irrelevant at the moment. There might, or I'm afraid, there will be many, many more victims. And what we all should be focusing now is to stop the war. Very simple message. And we must cry it. We must cry our message to everyone that has a heart that can listen.
Let me ask you, Maoz, there are people, Israeli families in front of the Israeli military headquarters in Tel Aviv, whose families have been taken hostage, either mother, father, daughter, son. And they are there saying the same thing. We often see them in the media describing the horror of what happened to their loved ones. But then the media doesn't go on to say what they're calling for. What do you demand right now of Prime Minister Netanyahu when you talk about ending the war?
Again, I'm calling and I'm crying, not to Benjamin Netanyahu, not to the leader of the Hamas, not to President Biden. I'm crying for humanity, for the entire humanity, for the entire mankind. I'm crying to stop the war. I'm crying for immediate ceasefire, and I'm crying for hope. Hope that will take us from this cycle of blood to a new and bright future. We must build hope. We must build a future, and this future must be based on equality, on partnership, on peace. And this is what I'm crying for. And it's not to blame this or the other, this person or the other. They are irrelevant anymore. We must build a new system.
We want to thank you, Maoz, so much as the show ends, and our condolences again, Israeli peace activists speaking to us from Binyamina, Israel. I'm Amy Goodman. Thank you for joining us.
Remember, you can listen to WRCT online. Live streaming available at www.wrct.org. WRCT Pittsburgh. You have no excuse not to listen.
Every year, over 1 million fires burn in America. Fortunately, firefighters are on the job, saving life and property, and you can be a part of it. 7 out of 10 firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Your community needs you. Are you ready to answer the call? Learn more and find local volunteer opportunities at makemeafirefighter.org.
Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine. Milton, pot of thieves, wild cord on my sleeve. Thick heart of stone, my sins my own, they belong to me, me. People say beware, but I don't care. The words are just rules and regulations to me, me. I look so proud. I'm moving this
Bye. Trinity. Maybe I'm nothing but a shadow on the wall. Maybe love's a tune to your quick as a night. Maybe sanctuary is an electric light.
Run, Polly. Johnny hit the run, Polly. You and me. I wanna know. I can't believe. deserts of Sudan and the gardens of Japan, from Milan to Yucatan. Every woman's, every man. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me, hit me. Je t'adore, ich liebe dich. Hit me, hit me, hit me. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me slowly, hit me quick. Hit me, hit me, hit me. In the wilds of Borneo and the vineyards of Bordeaux, Eskimo, Arapaho, their body to and fro. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me, hit me. Das ist gut, sehr fantastisch. Hit me, hit me, hit me. Hit me with your rhythm stick. It's nice to be a lunatic. Hit me, hit me, hit me.
Tell me about the mystery dance. I wanna know about the mystery dance. Why don't you show me? Cause I tried and I tried and I still missed out that I can't do it anymore and I'm not satisfied. I was down under the covers in the middle of the night, trying to discover my left foot from my right. See those pictures in a magazine, but what's the use of looking when you don't know what they mean? Why don't you tell me about the mystery dance? I wanna know about the mystery dance. Why don't you show me? Cause I tried and I'm still missed up that I can't do it anymore and I'm not satisfied. I can't do it anymore and I'm not satisfied. I can't do it anymore and I'm not satisfied. I can't do it anymore and I'm not satisfied. I can't do it anymore and I'm not satisfied.
Thank you. meet ya. so convoluted that I'm so agitated. And sometimes I think I'd be better off dead, just like my cousin Fred.
Ooh. My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety.
Go for real.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ruth Westheimer. And if you listen to WRCT Pittsburgh, you know that in most cases, size does not matter.
Welcome to Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines. I'm Janine Jackson. This week on Counterspin, in the wake of the October 7th attacks by Hamas and the ensuing bombing campaign from Israel on the Gaza Strip, many people were surprised that CNN's Fareed Zakaria aired an interview with a Palestinian activist who frankly described the daily human rights violations in Gaza, the right of Palestinians to resist occupation and apartheid, and how any tools of resistance they choose are deemed violent and punishable. Such statements aren't controversial from an international law or human rights perspective, but they stand out a mile in elite U.S. news media, suffused with assumptions, listeners will know. Palestinians attack, Israel responds. Periods of calm are when only Palestinians are dying. Stone throwing is terrorism, but cutting off water is not. War is not the time for context, still seems to be the mantra for many in the U.S. press, but there is, around the edges, growing acknowledgement of the dead end this represents, showing hour after hour of shocking and heart-wrenching imagery in a way that suggests violence is the only response to violence, when so many people are looking for another way forward. We'll talk with Phyllis Bennis from the New Internationalism Project at the Institute for Policy Studies. That's coming up, but first, a quick look back at some recent press. Both Israel and Saudi Arabia would benefit from a security alliance between the two countries, argued a New York Times op-ed, but the United States would be the biggest winner. The piece ran through the talking points, as noted by Adam Johnson at the column. A deal between Israel and Saudi Arabia would make the U.S. safer, something about threats from Iran, and if the U.S. doesn't build deeper partnerships with despotic regimes, the Chinese will. No mention of human rights or democracy. No mention either of the fact that the piece's author, Hussein Ibish, works for a think tank, the Arab Gulf States Institute in Washington, that was created and is funded by the Saudi government, its state oil company, and a host of weapons contractors. Declaring that Nicaragua had kept all foreign journalists out for more than a year, NPR said that their correspondent, Eider Peralta, was the first foreign journalist to make it into the country in that time. The leading claim of NPR's report, A Rare Look Inside Locked Down Nicaragua, would come as news to reporters from independent outlets like Morning Star, Rabble, and Eyes on Latin America, which have all filed from the country in just the past few months. AP has put out at least two stories datelined Nicaragua in 2023. NPR's reporter wasn't even the only U.S. public broadcast journalist to report from Nicaragua in the previous month, as Michael Fox from PRX's The World filed from Managua on August 23rd. The New York Times is forever lamenting the dividing of America, hearkening back to a never-existing time when we all came together to the potluck with our shared values, or at least agreed to politely disagree. Now it's all gone to heck. Here's the paper's Trip Gabriel last week. Quote, Americans are increasingly fracturing as a people, and some are taking the extraordinary step of moving to escape a political or social climate they abhor. Close quote. In the piece, two families got fed up with their state's politics, so they moved out. Gabriel profiles two families, saying, quote, their journeys from blue Oregon to red Missouri and from red Iowa to blue Minnesota mirror each other.